Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Afternoon, good evening, wherever you be in the world. This is the Ralph Winterroad Show coming to you live with Ralph Kermit Winterroad II out of Alaska. And as I say, Dorothy, you better buckle up because you ain't in Kansas no more. I'm going to make a few political statements here, and then we're going to get into something that is shocking. This IRS, state income tax, federal income tax nonsense is coming D-O-W-N. I haven't had the time to get through all of it yet, but I've got the total gist of it enough now, and I'm just keep reading more legislative history and getting more cases and getting a greater understanding of this. It is a con of unbelievable nonsense. Con. It's just unbelievable. I'm going to do just a brief overview in it. And then get into some of the substantive issues that hook us. And as if you listen to the show, you notice they had to get a fictional citizen of the United States started off. That happened in 1866, 14 Stat 27. They had the same rights as white citizens. That was for the Negroes. That was the cover story. So we get a fictional citizen of the United States. Then we put it into the 14th, and everybody thinks they're a 14th Amendment because they don't know how to read it. The 13th and the 14th and 15th Amendments basically were strictly for Negroes. Yeah. Then, of course, that was in 1868. Of course, then in 1870, Congress had an epiphany and said, well, now that we got this fictional citizen of the United States, you know, with all them black folk, we can get around and we can naturalize them like all the white folk. What an amazing thing we just figured out. Whoa! 1870. So then there's no difference as to the inalienable rights. But prior to that, there was for that 4 years. But we got the citizen of the United States going. Then, So I'm going to give you an overview, then I'm going to get into the specifics, because this is a mind twist. Then, okay, somewhere between then and now, the voting thing, there is no elective franchise to vote as a citizen of the United States. So they put that on all of the voting stuff. You got to be a citizen of the United States under the penalties of perjury. So what you're doing, you're voting to be in a federal area, which we'll get to in a minute. But now we have got the people, and I don't know exactly when they did all that. I'd have to go back in each state when they actually changed the voter registration forms and all that. But I just know it's done because we know what it is today. So they get the people out of the several states. So now we've got them out of the several states. We had to, because there's two parties, the people of the several states and their sovereign rights, and of course what's reserved back in the 10th Amendment. Then we had to get the senators, because the citizens of the several states are what elected the representatives based on population. Then we had to get the several states to not have any representation in the Constitution of the United States. So we passed the 17th Amendment. Hoo-ha. Which is illegal. Because a bill, I don't know whether, let me restate that. I don't know whether they were citizens of the United States or not in 1913 when they passed the 17th. I don't know the answer to that yet. I got to find that out. I think the answer is a yes. How do you vote? How do you change representation and remove the senators of the United States being elected by the legislatures of the several states? So anyway, they did it. So then after I think that it was done by both of them were all fictional, because then between 1913 and 1916, all of a sudden we have United States of America show up instead of United States as a real party of interest. And by the way, I've got over 113 cases. The United States of America is now a sovereign body politic within the territorial boundaries, the outside boundaries of the United States territories and all that nonsense. We're going to get to that a little bit here yet. But just the before that, the real party of interest in all of the constitutional courts up to 1913 were United States. Now, of course, in 1911... they got rid of the Circuit Court of the United States, which was a constitutional court, and put it into the Court of Appeals. So they had already got the appellate courts down to geographical locations. They still had the Constitutional District Court of the United States. So they put in the judicial power of the Constitutional Circuit Court of the United States, which was the appellate court, come out of 1789, back into the District Court of the United States. They did that in 1911. And then, of course, 1913, we get the Constitution of the United States doesn't have anybody in it no more. There's nobody home. So we fast forward. And in 1935, they created the Social Security Act for citizens of the United States under the guise of a retirement. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. People do not know that, but the state of Alaska is not the Social Security. The money they take out goes into an annuity fund. It's the only state that does that. And some of the boroughs got in on it, too, up here and other entities up here. And that money goes in their name. And when they retire, the state manages it. It goes the money directly to them or their heirs. That's the only state or whatever that this happened. They stopped it because the money was being funded to help the Federal Reserve and some other stuff. So they had to put an immediate, that's how stupid Congress is. But they did that in 1980. But anyway, backing up to the Social Security Act, we got the citizens of the United States going. Then we had to get the first phase of this was called the Public Salary Act of 1939. And let me go ahead and pull that up. And what that was about was to get a uniform taxation on all of the federal employees. That was supposedly the guides of that. Let me read it exactly here. I'll pull it up just a minute here. And so that was in the Public Salary Act of 1939. Let me read it here. I mean, this is really, this is the principalities of evil doing this stuff. There are some other things that I'm skipping over that they tried to do and they couldn't get pulled off, but these guys are very, very patient. Because what they said is here, the United States hereby consents to taxation of compensation. I think you will find that's on a 1099, compensation. And that came up in Rappert's case, Richard Rappert in Minnesota. Compensation, which is not defined in the tax code, Title 26. By the way, Title 26 is a ruse. It's a misdirection. So anyway, for personal service of any officer or employee of the United States, any territory or possession, political subdivision, District of Columbia, agency, instrumentality, yada, 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 for any duly constituted taxing authority having jurisdiction to tax such compensation. Oh, so if you got a taxing authority there, like state income tax, state tax, that's what they're saying there. So we got the public salary tax of 1939. So we got this started. Well, now we had to get around, and of course they say the gross income is compensation for personal service. Okay, so that includes personal service of any officer, employee, or state, or political subdivision, or any agent or instrumentality of one or more of the foregoing. So gross income is compensation for personal service. Personal service, okay? So now we get to 1940. And we come up with the Buck Act, which a lot of people have heard of. I've heard of the Buck Act. I just didn't understand what the hell they were doing. I do now. Because this is just amazing. You just can't make this. I got to quit saying you can't make it up. I don't know what to say anymore. But anyway, here we go. No person shall be relieved of liability for payment or collection of or accounting of any sales or tax levied by any state or by duly constituted taxing authority having jurisdiction to levy such a tax on the ground that the sale, use, or blah, a tax is levied and occurred in whole and part within a federal area. And such state or taxing authority shall have full jurisdiction, power to levy and collect such tax as any federal area within such state to the extent and the same effect as though the area was not in a federal area. Now, what the hell did I just say? Now, first of all, they can do it within a federal area. Then they can do it as though you're not in a federal area. We've heard federal zone and all that other stuff. Because let's hold that thought here. Federal area means any lands or premises held or acquired by or for the use of the United States by any department or premises held or acquired by any department, establishment, or agency of the United States or any federal area or any part thereof which is located within the exterior boundaries of any state shall be deemed a federal area located within the state. Exterior boundaries of any state. Now, what the hell are we talking about here? This is getting really confusing. I don't know about you. Exterior boundaries. So this is within the exterior boundaries. So we got the, let's just take Minnesota. Exterior boundaries of the state of Minnesota. This is why they always go to the exterior boundaries, geographical. United States in the tax code and other places, you will see United States includes the geographical, that's the exterior boundaries of the United States, which will include the territories, possessions, D.C., and on all of it. Why do they do that? What happened to the several states, the land? This all is an overlay. It sits above, it's in the exterior boundaries. Exterior boundaries, so they have to do the exterior boundaries. And they're using the use a word of federal area is the ones within, like a Ford Arsenal, whatever. Then your exterior boundaries, you have the same nonsense going on. So how did I end up in both of these. Well, it makes zero sense. How can that? This is an impossibility. I got one of the several states, and within the exterior boundaries of Minnesota, I got a federal area. And then within this federal area, it says here, no person shall be relieved of the liability for any income tax levied by any state or duly constituted taxing authority having jurisdiction to levy the tax. So now wait a minute here. How did I get in this damn mess? We had to create a citizen of the United States for the overlay. We had to create the Social Security number in 1935, because once you get that number and it attaches, it's only if you want a federal benefit, state or federal. You have no rights, you have no remedies, you have nothing. You have left the Constitutional Republic. Now we go to the Buck Act of 1940. All of these state income taxes and all this other frickin' damn nonsense says you're stuck. But how do they stick me? Well, let's jump ahead and then we'll go back and get how they stick us. You see, the bottom line is, in 1947, they redid all of Title IV, which is where all this stuff is all at. It's all in Title IV of the United States Code, which is about states, about the flag and all this other stuff. And it's in Sections 103, 4 U.S.C. and 111, but 103, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. It's all that area. They made it positive law in 1947. Now, see, if they made real statutes of the United States, you don't have to make it positive law. Now, I got to look up more on positive law, but the bottom line is they used to have statutes of the United States. They actually put that at the beginning of the statutes. Then all of a sudden it became public law. Public law is, it can be a lot of things, and one thing that they're doing is they're legislating what's called private law, because there are the private law is a thing to where the Congress or the legislature steps out of making legislative law, and they are actually creating a judicial, they're acting as judges. I got that out of the 1914 words and phrases with the cases backing that up. And what that means is, if you step into the federal areas, which they hadn't defined back in that time frame yet, but if you step into the fictional world of what New Deal, this all came under Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal. He's the bastard that did this. He was the guy that was doing this stuff. Because you see where he was talking about speeches and Congress was saying, oh yeah, let's just slap up to old Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal. When you step into that world, no rights, no remedies, no nothing. But what they're doing is when Congress is legislating private law, and you know, Franklin, the thing was getting away from him in 1937. I've got about a 400-page thing that he looked, and he was trying to figure out how to control what's called the headless fourth branch of government. Because they were making all of these agencies, like the Postal Service is not the post office. These are little independent governments operating in the federal zone. Not zone, area. I don't use zone. It's federal area because that's what's defined. So they come up with the Administrative Procedures Act in 1946. And that's where they gave all of three branches of governments to agencies. And they posted in the Federal Register under proposed rules. They come out with a final rule, and Congress has 6 months to take a look at it and said, well, how's the fictional world doing there? Yay! We're being screwed. Yeah, that looks all right. We have no control. These people that are doing all this stuff, we have no control over any of them. They're not, none of them are elected by the people or accountable to us. Back in a minute.
past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Okay, so we got the Buck Act. We got this thing where the Congress says they can tax any liability or any income tax, anything. Well, what is an income tax in the Buck Act of 1940, which they made positive law in 1947? Let me go down here. And it talks about, let's see if we can find it here. I got to get to the right one. I was looking into something else. We're trying to get ahead here. It's an interesting thing because, you see, they don't use Title 26 definitions. Do you know why? Because it's an act of Congress. It's an act of Congress. Why is that? Why did they do that? The term income tax means, this is in the Buck Act, any tax levied with respect to or measured by net income, or gross receipts. Net income, gross income, that's why they always want to talk about gross income, net income. They never talk about gross receipts normally. But it's always net income and gross income. The term state includes any territory or possession of the United States. The federal area means any lands or premises held or acquired for or by the use of the United States or department, establishment, agency, blah, 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 or any federal area or any part thereof which is located within the exterior boundaries of any state shall be deemed a federal area located within the state. So income tax means any tax levied on with respect to what? net income, gross income, or gross receipts. And the word person is defined in Section 3797 of the Internal Revenue Code. I was back. I think they may have moved that, but it's the same definition. As we got person, individual, and all that other nonsense. Now, are you sitting down? This is where it gets really interesting. Let me find it here. Let's see here. Gotta pull it up here. I got around and what? I gotta find the cases here. I got them somewhere. I got them resell. Oh, here it is, right here. Here's two of them that I pulled up. Guess what they did with this Buck Act? I had to look. I said, this can't be. As to income taxes, the United States, through the Buck Act, has receded jurisdiction to the states and other local taxing authorities, and it's under 4 U.S.C. 106A. What the hell are we talking about here? Receded. They have handed the income taxes back to the states. They did that in 1940, and then they made it positive law in 1946. So let me pull up here. I got to type it in. Let me pull up 4 U.S.C. 106, which comes out of the Buck Act. And this is A. No person shall be relieved from any liability of income taxes levied by any state or any duly constituted taxing authority therein having jurisdiction to levy such tax by reason of residing within a federal area or receiving income from transactions occurring or services performed in such area, and such state or taxing authority shall have full jurisdiction and power to levy and collect such tax as any federal area within any state at the same extent as though the area was not in a federal area. What the frickin' hell here are we doing? How did we get in this frickin' damn mess? How do I get stuck? Well, first of all, you got to be a citizen of the United States. I got another case in Maine. This one here is United States versus County of Denver, and it is 573 F.SUPP.686. That's 573 F.SUPP 686. I got one out of Maine here too. This one here is let's see here. This one here is 490A is an alpha 2D 223. It, oh, back in a minute.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. 592-9543. Thank you.
Hey, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, well, we're back here. This is 490. This is in Maine. 490, A is an alpha, 2D, 223. And it's Barney, Barney versus State Tax Assessor, 1985. By the Buck Act, Congress in 1940 receded to Maine jurisdiction to tax all incomes earned in a federal enclave within Maine's geographical boundaries. 4 U.S.C. 106. And then it says 1 MRSA Section 1. I don't know. That must be the Maine code. I don't know. I've looked it up. Really? Now, this is getting really interesting here. Because the state income tax, the feds are handing it back to the states. But you see, in Rapper's case, which we flushed them out in Minnesota, they didn't want to use the definition of taxpayer. Because the Judge Senek, S-E-N-Y-K, said it's irrelevant. And he's right. The Title 26 definition of taxpayer and all that stuff is nonsense. They didn't want withholding agent in there because that says in Title 26, under Subtitle A, the only authorized people for any tax is for non-resident aliens, foreign corporations, and foreign organizations. And they can be sued. That's 26 U.S.C. 7701A16. But they don't use that. They're using the Buck Act. income is gross income, net income, or gross receipts. In 1940, positive law, 1947. And the Fed said, well, we got to have a state income tax, so we'll hand off all the income tax stuff back to you, the state. Really? Now, how do I get out of this mess? That's one of the issues, is how the hell do I get out of it? That's one of the big issues, is how do I get out of it? And the other one is, how do I end up in this mess? Well, I got another case here. I got to find it here. It's an interesting case because it tells us a lot more about what they're doing. It's all about your status. They don't tie that in, but that's tied into this because you can see it in the benefits. It's in the legislative history. Citizen of the United States. Yay! I got to be a citizen of the United States. I'll fight for that. I'll fight for my own slavery. To enter the federal area. Now, this happens to be a case. This here is Court of Appeals of Ohio. It's 104 NE Northeast 2D 65. 104 NE 2D 65, and it's the City of Springfield against Kenny. Very enlightening case. They were talking about here whether in the City of Springfield, an ordinance question has been placed 1% tax on all salaries, wages, and other compensation earned by residents of a city. Now, the one thing a citizen of the United States does not have, they cannot have a domicile. It's not a corporation, but it's a fiction in law. The citizen of the United States has no domicile. And let me read this. It is admitted the defendant lives within the corporate boundaries of the City of Springfield in a public housing project owned by the United States and operated as a federal housing area by the Public Housing Authority. The area within which he lives is known as Weldon Park, W-H-E-L-D-O-N Park. We think that the answer to the question here presented is found in Section 106A of Title 4. Whoa, there it is again, the old Bucky Act, which reads, no person shall be relieved from liability for any income tax levied by any state or any duly constituted taxing authority therein, having jurisdiction to levy such a tax by reason of his residing, not domicile, residing within a federal area or receiving income from transactions occurring or services performed in such area, and such state or taxing authority shall have full jurisdiction and the power to levy and collect such tax in any federal area within such state to the extent and with the same effect as though such area was not a federal area. So if you're getting around residing and you are receiving it on any income or transactions performed in such area tied into, it's federal housing and within the corporate jurisdiction. And, of course, see, the states all make you vote for a citizen of the United States. You are voting, but you want to have within, that's called this state, by the way, within the exterior boundaries of the state, one of the several states, you want to have a federal area. Why are you voting as a citizen of the United States under the penalties of perjury? Why not vote as a citizen of Maine or a citizen of Minnesota or a citizen of Texas? There's two ways out of this, but we'll go get to them before we get through with the show, to step out of this. Which we found out in Rappert's case, why they were so resisting of this stuff. We just did not have the rest of what the hell was going on. And I'm going to explain what was going on in Rappert. That case, in Rappert's case, on her final decision, they got a different judge. She knew what's going on. It also says, where the United States, without the consent of the state, purchases or uses land for purposes specified in Article 8, Section 1, the federal, it acquires no jurisdiction of the land, because see, the land's got to be ceded. But they can buy it or use land and becomes in a federal area. Not under forts, arsenals, and needful buildings, where it's ceded. So what we got here is an overlay under the Buck Act. Congress said, we've got y'all hoodwinked into thinking you're a citizen of the United States. Of course, we're not going to tell you what that is because everybody knows it's a good thing. And, of course, we got the regulation that says, by the way, if you get a Social Security number, there's only two reasons to have one. You want a federal benefit or a state benefit. And we've got all kinds of cases starting from Hayburn, Dismuke, Babcock, I've cited before. When the United States creates rights against itself, you have no rights and no remedies. You're screwed. Whatever Congress wants to do with you, you're done. This is where Congress has stepped into by us signing up for it. It is not legislating what's called general laws. It is legislating private laws. It is acting as a judge to say you must exhaust your administrative remedies in an agency where it is already predetermined the result or the lack of result. And that's where they can deny you any access to any court because it's a benefit. God, this is making so much sense now. And, of course, once they got this established, the Buck Act in positive law in 1947, they had to have courts in 1948. So they changed the name of the District Court of the United States, which, as far as I know, I still got to check that out, but it was never repealed because they can't repeal the constitutional stuff. They just don't use it. So we have United States District Court, which came out of the territory of Hawaii. Provisor note says so, which are evidence. Well, once they did that, United States District Court, and this is why when I found in the, they created the Federal Court of Claims in 1984 and the United States Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, which they only use United States. They don't use United States of America in those two courts. Very rare examples. They operate on subject matter jurisdiction, which is what they want to tell us is going on in these lower courts. It's not. The Court of Appeals, 1 through 11, and the D.C. Court of Appeals, and the United States District Court, they operate on something called geographical location. That's right in the Francenet Report. They say so. Why is it geographical? Because it's in the exterior boundaries of the United States, the overlay. We don't have the several states because we signed up to be citizens of the damn United States for a benefit. And under the Buck Act, because they tie in anything that ties in to do anything with the gas tax, any benefit, housing, and these corporations, they got them hoodwinked. They're tied in because they can operate across boundary lines, interstate commerce, so they're in the federal areas. Then we go to Subtitle C, of which there can, that's in Title 26, of which there can be no deficiency, where it's the election of the employer. The employer, which is hooked, sucks in we, the citizens of the several states, the private citizens by the W-4 or the 1099, they turn us in under compensation, which they did in Rapper's case. He had compensation, which is not defined in Title 26. It don't need to be because the employer is turning it in, and therefore it's taken as true. And the W-4 is, well, I'm signing up. I'm volunteering to enter that world. They don't bring up the Buck Act. Anything that is considered anything of gross receipts, net income, or gross income, that's what they always do in these federal courts. And the federal courts always prosecute under United States of America. Never United States. Never. All tax cases are always United States of America. A sovereign body politic. How in the hell did they get to be sovereign? Because you and me and the people before us walked away from our constitution of the several states, our limited delegation of power or authority, and the several states, the 17th Amendment. They have no representation. So we have a sovereign body politic now in the federal zone. What's even more amazing, because I was looking at the crosses on this of the Buck Act of 1940 and 1947, where does it codify today? Well, I found one of them in Title VII, Section 2. What the hell is that got to do with anything? Well, let me bring that up. I said, this whole thing is unraveling big time. Now that I get the big picture, I've got enough background to all the other stuff, because especially look at this legislative history to see what these guys are really doing. And of course, it's you and me signing up for it. Well, why would the Buck Act be in Title VII? Title VII is agriculture. And then Chapter 1 is commodity exchanges. It says jurisdiction of commission, liability of principal for active agent, commodity futures, trading commission, transaction for interstate commerce. And they talk about the Federal Reserve, the agriculture, the stocks and the stock market and all this other freaking nonsense. All that smoke and mirrors, the Federal Reserve notes operate in the federal areas. The constitutional money is called Treasury notes. This really, now I understand why they had to kill Kennedy, because he was putting out Treasury notes, because as soon as you put out the constitutional money under the 1792 Coinage Act and then under the greenback thing of under Lincoln, they had to kill him too. Guess what? There's no federal areas because you are using constitutional money. You can't. You have to have Federal Reserve notes to operate in the federal area. Constitutional money, Treasury notes, they had to kill Kennedy because he'd have brought everything down. Is this shocking? This part about reseeding the income tax back to the states. Now can we take a look at Richard Rappert's case in Minnesota? That judge that sat in, I don't remember what the hell her name was, another idiot, another pawn of the deep state or the basically the principalities of evil. She said that the terms are irrelevant in Title 26. You know what? She's right. They don't make because it's under the Buck Act. They were also right on something else. Even the Judge Senek, he said, you don't have to file a federal income tax to be hooked for a state income tax. Why was he saying that? You see, all they wanted Rapper to do was just figure it out. Figure out the amount and put it on the state income tax because he is voluntarily submitting to the federal area. And by then filing in the state income tax, which is under the Buck Act, he's done. Thanks. Come on now, Mr. Rappert. Come on, fill out that thing. You don't have to file it into federal income tax because the feds have reseeded. I didn't know that. Did you know that? The federales have reseeded this. They brought this nonsense in under federal employees, where they would allow the states to withhold money if there's an agreement. That's the 55, 16, and 20 and all that. They have to do that. So they would allow the states to withhold the money from the federal employees. Now, wait a minute. If they're working within the boundaries of the state, why would they be separate entities? They're all citizens of the United States. This gets back into this private law crap. All these special benefits you do to this, just like in Alaska. You'd be a citizen of the United States, resident of Alaska. If you're a war whoop out there, you can kill moose out of season for a potlatch. You can not pay property taxes in the city of Dillingham, where somebody else is a citizen of the United States and a resident of Alaska. But, oh, you're a pale face. You can't do that. Does that seem right? Are we starting to get the picture of this frickin' damn nonsense? I highly recommend going back and reading about Esau in the Bible. He surrendered his birthright. There was porridge and lentil beans. He lost his property and lineage rights. What they have to do with us, we have to keep surrendering and agree to step into the federal area as a citizen of the United States. Hoo-ha. Back in a minute. It gets, we're going to go more into this yet.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
And one of the things that they do with this stuff is like I-9s. They want you to fill out an I-9. What's the first thing? I want to be a citizen of the United States under the penalties of perjury. As soon as you do that, you've stepped into the federal areas. Because you see, all of these corporations, like I had one, Winter Telecom Inc., I could operate within the territorial boundaries of the United States territories and possessions. I was in a federal area. And then, because I was dumber than a dang rock then, I got around and said, oh, by the way, I'm going to get all you folks to sign W-4s. Yay! Election by the employer to the employee to voluntarily withhold money. Of course, I unincorporated in 1995. And then what I did to show people to start to get them to understand some of the things is I lowered their wages, what they call wages. So therefore, they got cash, plus they could still file. So they saw a lot more money to take home to kind of get their attention. Now, interestingly enough, is with these 1099s, they want to use compensation and all that, federal income tax and all this other nonsense here. So that's what they brought up in Rappert case. The employer is turning you in that you receive compensation. Really? And I saw some other cases. Anything that has to do with money or the transfer of money, why would that be? Well, I'm using Federal Reserve notes. I'm using the stuff that is used in the federal areas. Why doesn't Kennedy tried it, put out Treasury notes, constitutional money? Because they'll kill you. That's what happened to Kennedy. If anybody ever saw those, I had some at one time. They have a red seal on them. Treasury notes, constitutional money. Not the Federal Reserve notes, the federal area stuff that we do. That's why gold and silver is not a means of exchange. The people that have tried that, there's a guy down in Florida, a pastor in a church or something. I think he tried that. I can't think of his name right now. He was quite well known, and he got nailed on that. And I saw where that was come out of the corporate law nonsense. And his attorney sold him out. How are we supposed to know this stuff? Who's going to be able to explain what I just talked about in the last hour? It's going to take a little bit of study to understand, which I'm going to go over again in the next hour. How do we get out of it? You file your status into any public record that you're not this citizen of the United States. I got to redo it now that I'm not in any federal area. I am using the Federal Reserve notes under protest, under the law of necessity. I don't want anything to do with the Buck Act. This is why the states, they're all getting federal grants. They're all admitting to it. And when you have a business, they're all able to go within the territorial boundaries of the federal areas and do business. And they send you a W-4 to get you to volunteer, or they turn you in with a 1099. But you have compensation. What a scam. What a con. Sodom and Gomorrah on steroids. Back in a minute.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting.